て忘ればいや。
This morning we will continue in our seminar called Living the Bhagavad. It is the experience of devotees who really read the Bhagavad with the idea to get important instructions to progress in their life. It's the experience of these devotees that the Bhagavad has worked miracles in their life. Yesterday we had a very we ended actually with a shloka from the Bhagavatam, which says exactly how important it is to understand that Krishna is Priyatama. Atma is the soul and Priya means dear. So Krishna is the one who is dearest to the soul or the best friend. It is said if someone understands this, he loses all the anxieties and fears of being in the material world, and he becomes so qualified by just this understanding that he is the guru of everyone. I want to read this shloka again to you so that you see the importance of, you know, making friendship with Krishna. I want to almost say it in this clear way. This is the verse. One who is engaged in devotional service has not the least fear in material existence. This is so because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul and friend of everyone. One who knows this secret, that the Lord is the super soul and friend of everyone, one who knows this secret is actually educated. And one thus educated can become the spiritual master of the entire world. Hare Krishna. This is how important it is to come to this level. And I request you really to meditate a little bit about this understanding and learn in a responsible way to relate to Krishna as the one who always is really ready to shower his mercy upon you once you turn to him. Today I would like to progress from this point to expecting the Lord's mercy. It's a direct result of making such becoming a little bit more aware of Krishna and then expecting his mercy. There is a verse which I would like to chant with you. It's there, which really tells us that one who lives his life out expecting or waiting for the mercy of Krishna, he is surely eligible to go back to Godhead in this life. So here's the shloka for us to chant, and then I will read the translation. A really amazing part of a purport of Srila Prabhupada in this verse. Something. We need to go a little bit lower. Morning hours. Tate Lukampam Susamikshamano.
Tate Lukampam Susamikshamano.
Punjani Vatmakritam Vipakam. Such a way that was very soft. He had not done any intense measures. He just gentlemanly shown him, your magic power is little small. My potency, see, this is my potency, is so much bigger. He had taught him in a very gentle and kind way, almost ignoring this grave offense of Brahma to take the coward boys away from him. So Brahma was in tears after this to see the power but also the mercy of Krishna. And he said, my dear Lord, you are so wonderful. One who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, his words and his body, is surely eligible for liberation, for this has become his rightful claim. Let us quickly unpack the verse. What does it really say here? It says, We should live our life waiting for the mercy of Krishna and not become irritated if some mishaps happen. We should understand rather that this is some reactions from my previous misdeeds, and we should not be deterred by them, and just go on with our bhakti activities, with heart, verse, and body. And if Krishna sees it, that the devotee is just undeterred, he waits for his mercy, no matter what happens, and serves it. He gives him the liberation of going back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada has commented upon this verse in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 10. And it's really interesting what he says about this. So please hear. Now, this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, should be the guide of all devotees. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. Instead, he should continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. So very simple. Continue with your service. Do not be surprised if some mishaps happen. You can't make the material world perfect, even if you massage the material energy with a lot of money in your hands. It is what it is. A place of correction from our past misdeeds. But don't become influenced by these miseries. Don't think something bad happened to me, I get another lot. This doesn't work for me. No, continue, show Krishna your faith, your loyalty, and he'll become impressed by you. Jiva Goswami says in this connection, when the Lord sees that his devotee continues to serve him despite his suffering on the physical platform, he understands, well, it's not easy to practice Krishna consciousness in this world. Let me quickly help this devotee. I'm thinking of Janakinath, who had this cancerous tumor removed from him. And it was, this is intense surgery, you know, this is not something for beginners. Mm-hmm. And he had chemotherapy and all of this. And what does our Janakinath do? He preaches to the entire hospital. He doesn't think, this doesn't work, this Krishna consciousness. I wanted to be happy and I have a tumor. But he continues. How happy Krishna must be with such devotees. How impressed he is like this. So the first lesson to extract from this is, let us not allow ourselves to come into a passive victim role, but expect Krishna's mercy to come at any time. Now I have seen, if devotees could only, and even myself, when I learn this, my dear devotees, when I'm sometimes also overwhelmed by miseries, but I had a lot of these miseries. I had surgeries, I was attacked with bombs, imagine, bombs, not bullets. Bullets also, but it's nothing. Bombs is the real thing you can bomb. Oh, Krishna, I was disinherited in this life. I could tell you a song, I could sing you a song of misery in the victim role, which Vulgarity would make every one of you roll on the floor in agony and cry. But what is it? I have so much. I've always thought misery is not eternal, although this goes, and learned to not complain, not feel but to turn to Krishna with whatever capacity I had in this situation. I have my heart, I can pray to him, I have my words, I can speak to him, and I have my body and can do a service for him, and life becomes so blissful immediately when you do this. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this point, which I have seen so often in my life, that I became overwhelmed by misery and thought how unfair this is, and became disempowered in my enthusiasm to serve. First of all, I want to start. Could there be a pedagogic reason or a therapeutic reason of miseries? In other words, could there be a place in Krishna's creation where miseries serve a good purpose in our process of life? I'm asking this question because we are living in a civilization which wants to almost eradicate pain, the painkillers for everything, including spiritual movements who promise to be a painkiller. But is there maybe something valuable in pain? And is it maybe that we do not need to put pain away by positive thinking or by hiding from it or pretending it's not there? Well, in spiritual life, there is a very important understanding of how we can turn mishaps, perhaps things which do not work for us, into our greatest treasures. And I want to read you a few quotations from Srila Prabhupada on this. First of all, Krishna is behind everything, also behind our pain. And there is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth canto, where it says, just as a father, out of his own accord, looks after the good of his child, you personally also do what is good for us. And a father, this is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, sometimes the father embraces and kisses his son. I'm sorry, no sound is required for this. Sometimes, I do it again, no sound effect, please, that's another one. This discussion. Sometimes the father embraces and kisses his son, and at other times he gives him a spanking. The devotee accepts whatever happens to him as the arrangement of the Lord in the same way, who's acting for his benefit. Thus the devotee thinks, the Lord certainly knows what is best for me, even if I don't know. Karma and time have no effect on a devotee. So this is Krishna's personal arrangement for me. Out of his mercy, Krishna sometimes gives me happiness and sometimes gives me distress, considering how to engage me in his service. Now, what could be good? What could be in Krishna's mind if he gives his devotee distress? This is a question. Bhagavatam gives one interesting perspective on this. Gold becomes purer when it is exposed to fire and is melted in the fire, at that time you will see that the impure properties like ordinary iron maybe or coal or so on separates from the pure gold, and the pure gold becomes brilliant. In the same way, when a devotee is exposed to some tapa, some burning, it can be involuntarily by some misery which comes his way, or it can be also voluntarily by doing some austerity for Krishna, going out on the sacred street party when it's freezing cold, for instance. No? This is called tapa, it is a burning. At that time something happens to the devotee's mind. This burns off any remaining selfish desires, and then allows the soul to experience the sweetness and beauty of Krishna and rejoin him in his eternal pastimes in the spiritual realm. Don't we all know this, my dear devotees? When there is something happening to us which was a little different than expected, something which came with us, to us, not with a smiley attached to it, but with a serious face attached to it. You have all these mobile phone applications, so you know what I'm speaking about. Then we become serious and we turn away from the world of illusion and we turn to Krishna. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings, "All the distress which I encounter in your service is also my greatest happiness. Both the distress and the happiness that come from engagement in your service are my greatest fortune, because they destroy the distress of ignorance." Our real enemy is not suffering, some little, if we have a thorn or if we don't feel a day not so good. Our real enemy in spiritual life is called avidya, this ignorance which covers the soul, so that the eternal soul, which is full of bliss and knowledge, misidentifies with the body, which is not eternal but temporary. The body is not full of bliss, the moment there's a scratch, it is the anti-bliss thing, the body, and not also full of knowledge. So our enemy is that avidya, which covers the soul since timeless beginning. And then there is a little misery happening, or if we take voluntarily some austerity, that is even better. Consciously, I say, "Well, let me get up in the morning now for Mangal Arati. Yes, I know I'm tired like a dog." Oh, sorry, this is a little German expression. I'm very tired, but I will go through this. Something wonderful is given to us. The covering of ignorance is removed from you, and you see some spiritual light coming towards you. This is a great gift, and therefore tapasya and austerities in spiritual life are embraced according to one's capacity. We are not masochists, who want to who think I have to get a hammer here and beat myself and then transcendental bliss is coming. That's not the idea at all. That it would be a personal disorder, personality disorder, to think like this. But we are speaking now of doing something in Krishna consciousness, either tolerating misery in Krishna consciousness, knowing this must be something I have caused myself, or taking on a voluntary place in the preaching mission and doing something for the good of others, doing something for the good of our spiritual master, and doing some tapasya, it's called. Tapa means burning. It will burn the darkness from our heart, and it will purify our soul in a wonderful and amazing way. You know, when the devotees enter into nostalgia, something which I also think is not good, we should not live our life in the past, we should move forward. But there is something like reminiscing devotees do. What happens? Why do they like this? Why, when Akandaji Prabhu and myself, we sit together, now we are old people, old graying hair is also available in our head, and we talk, wow, do you remember the Pandavasena campaign? Oh yes, I could not sleep from my engagement, so much engagement. Do you remember those days on Sankirtan when our hands were freezing and we were praying, Krishna, Krishna, please help me, I want to distribute your book. We all would become happy about this because we felt at that time the transcendental bliss of Krishna consciousness. How? Because the ignorance of being the body, being part of this world, went away, and we understood, wow, life is there beyond the body. Life is there beyond the mind. Life is there in the service of Krishna. I'm not distracted by these impediments which come, you know, this material things. So often we see in our mind the opposite happening. When there is something little uncomfortable, we enter the victim role. Why me? We ask. Why me? Have you ever asked this question? You will say outwardly with a smile, no, not at all, Maharaj. And inside, like Sian Gopal was the inside voice. Yes. We ask this question not when others suffer. We understand, yes, this is some karmic reaction, must be. But when it comes to us, all our philosophy leaves us. And we have only this question, why me? Why me? Why me? Is God unfair and unjust? We ask like this. There's a very interesting point, and it's almost maybe my last point for this morning. No. I see my dear devotees, the German people as such suffered from a huge trauma which is still in the society, it's underlying. They engaged in the service of a great demon and a great demoniac misconception. The misconception is the Germans are the best people of the world, and they need Lebensraum. Lebensraum was Hitler's word for it was a sly word. It means space for living. And because they were the best, they needed to populate the world, their race, and expand. A very demoniac concept, and they killed people who lived in the countries to take on that space for their exalted race. The Germans awoke from this finally, and they are very sorry for having done this mistake. At least the generation of my parents are like this. It's a wound which has not healed, although they are 90 plus years from. So there was something which Prabhupada refers in this time. You know, all soldiers were given a girlfriend at home because the generals understood the soldiers will fight better and they will survive wounds is better if they feel there is someone waiting for me, my future wife. So young men, my father was 16, were almost, he was already in contact with my mother, and it was clear that would become a marriage, you know. The women, small girls, would pray, oh, let my Hermann or my Hans Günther come back from the front line, but many of them did not return. These women had been in the churches on their knees praying to God Almighty, the Father in heaven, please send my fiancé, my friend or my future husband, depending on how they defined the relationship at that time, back from war, but only notices started coming back, massive notices of massive losses of the Germans. That they were killed like anything by the Red Army, like flies, you know. And all these sheets came back. Your so and so is massacred by the Red Army. So, do you know what happened? They lost their faith in God. There was a massive exodus of the churches who needed to be sold. Many churches are now serving as discotheques in Germany. So because they thought God is unkind. Now in the Bhagavad Gita 5:15, it is stated that the perfect Lord is not responsible for the sinful or pious acts of the jivas. But still, Baladev Vidyabhushana says, when something happens, although we are responsible, not the Lord, for what we do good and what we do bad, still we ask when something bad happens, why me? Why did God tolerate this? Why did he not prevent it? Baladev Vidyabhushana asked, why do the jivas accuse the Lord of injustice? And then he says, that the knowledge of the jiva, though eternal, disappears from the view of the jiva due to its hostility to the Lord since beginningless time. So we should know, yes, when we do bad things, when I take a knife and cut myself, I can't expect a flower coming out of my head. It will be the reaction to this, but still we accuse the Lord because we are so hostile since time immemorial. We want to put it on his account. Huh? You are really responsible, not me. and so on. Because of this, the jiva are so bewildered. And then Baladev said, the Lord is just. But the ignorant people say, the Lord is unjust. And then he gives verses, for instance, the Vedanta Sutra, which confirms it. The Lord has no injustice or hatred in his heart. Rather, he's always favorable to the jiva. The scripture declares this. So, my dear devotee, the moment, devotees, plural number, the moment you are actually accepting Krishna is fair, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he's the Supreme Controller, he's behind everything, and he is fair and kind, that moment the doors to the material world open, because you have given up your hostility by putting what you did on the account of Krishna. Yeah? That moment you are eligible for liberation. Just this one thing, the Lord is just and kind. And whatever happened to me, the Lord is knowing about this. He did not prevent it because he wanted to finally purify the gold. He wanted that the ignorance, which is my main enemy, goes, and that I understand this world is not created for my enjoyment, but for my correction, so that I'm free from these imperfections and can and ready to go to the kingdom of God. Therefore, and I will end here, Krishna gives three kinds of mercy. A first installment of mercy, a second installment of mercy, and a third installment of mercy. Would you like to know these three installments? It is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I would like to say something. First, he attracts us to Krishna consciousness, but this is not mentioned. Vishwanath speaks to devotees who are already devotees. But so the first expression of his mercy bears the fruit of tormenting pain. We understand. Oops. I made a mistake. I left Krishna. The second wave of mercy causes an extraordinary shower of sweet bhakti to rain down upon the devotee. You know, when you have gone through this, either voluntary, that's best, in my opinion, to do some tapasya, to do something out of your comfort zone for Krishna, no? And you pray to him, or you have something happens to you, it happens anyway to you, my dear devotees. We anyway get our karma, but in Krishna consciousness we understand, the Lord gave this to me to wake me up. Huh? So, and when you then turn to Krishna, his second wave of mercy comes. Whoosh! No sound effect unnecessary, I think. An extraordinary shower of sweet bhakti to rain down. And finally, Krishna gives the third form of mercy. I give mercy in the form, says Krishna, of my very self. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is famous for saying one thing. First comes deconstruction, then comes construction. First, Krishna needs to remove our ignorance from us, and then it can build on this. I have a tooth problem, and it was diagnosed by Krishna Kirtan, so it must be correct. It's a tooth problem. So I have an appointment when I land in Berlin. The first thing I do is I go to my dentist, and he will tell me, first we have to take the rotten part out of your tooth, and then we will put an elegant porcelain crown upon you. But first comes deconstruction, then comes construction. This is why Krishna takes what we anyways would have to get. We would anyways get our karma and gives it to us in doses which we could call up, which we could call wake up calls. At that time, my dear devotees, you are before choice. Will you complain to Krishna? Will you go into the victim role? Oh, always me, me, me. Why do I always am born on the dark side of the fortune? Or you say, oh, yeah, this is now, this is what is here. Let me now surrender to Krishna. Let me give my best to Krishna. What do I have? I have my body, I have my words, and I have my body, heart, my mind, I can put. And then Krishna thinks, wow, this devotee. I give this devotee first a rain of nectar, and then I give him mercy in the form of my very self. Such a Prabhupada says it's token gifts of our karma, which the Lord presents to us as presents here. It is good because it helps us to turn really to Krishna and understand I don't want to enjoy an illusory life. I want to live a real life, a deep life in full Krishna consciousness. Oh my God, you take all notes. Is it all right what I say, or is it a little bit tough to digest? I have ended what I wanted to say. Once again, because I want to leave you with a very, very positive. Positive means a very this inspiring quote. So let us sing again the verse, please. We can go a little higher now.
Tate yugam pam susamikshamano punjana evadma kritam vipagam devara purvir vidatan namaste jive rayomo vipare sabayam.
My dear Lord, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, and who offers you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Srila Prabhupada, this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. Instead, he should continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Misunderstood and disliked even by their own peers. I see all these things. I am not an insensitive person. And I see also another thing, that the world is suffering these things very often in larger proportions. I think you know the statement that comes from Persia. I was crying because my shoes were stolen before the mosque there. I was crying and lamenting until I saw the person who lost his feet. This is the world of birth and death. There is suffering. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, things are coming, but Krishna stops the things at the entrance of your life and says, well, let me weaken this a little bit, or let me give this at a time when it is favorable to wake up the devotee. Then he lets this misery, which anyways come to you in a proportioned way, so that you can learn to give up the ignorance of trying to be happy in this world, and turn to Krishna even more enthusiastic as your solace, Prabhupada says, as your only help. And the moment you do this, my dear devotees, it's really magical. The moment you do this psychological switch, wow, the Lord is really opening a door for you to your next level of Krishna consciousness, most commonly, most generally. No? But if you resist the Lord, if you resist what comes, and if you complain and you don't understand and you are going into the misery role, the victim role, then you still will have to learn. It will take a little bit more time. So please take this wonderful offer of Krishna's mercy and engage your body and mind in his service, and soon you will be through, and blissful times, the shower of bhakti will come to you, the second installment, which is very sweet. Woo! Especially after one has gone through something, the Lord gives you increased awareness, increased bliss in Krishna consciousness, and finally he shows you his own Rupa, his form, Hare Krishna. And thank you very much. Now I have to look secretly at the whisper. We have time for one or two questions. Yes, Sunil was really like, so Sunil, you were the fastest. Yes, yes. It's on the subject?
Yes.
Good.
So, you mentioned about tormenting the pain, so I thought it'd be useful to understand. You asked, or you suggested that we should look at some voluntary actions or tapa. So I wanted you to maybe for everyone to outline what exactly you define as this voluntary tapa that we should maybe potentially.
Yes. What is voluntary tapa? We practice the four rules and regulations. That's where we can start. Yesterday there was Yeshor. He gave a seminar here.
Jessel.
Jessel?
Yes.
Seriously? Jessel? I read this for the first time in my life. Good, you know everything about me. He introduced something which helps to bind people that they are really honest about their desires in various ways. So there was this question, and I looked at it later, and yes, the four rules can be a tapasya. You may like to go to a game, and then said no gambling. You might bet on horses. I heard that's done in England, or is it done in New York? I get mixed up. Or you have any other difficulty where you do not like this, and this is some tapasya. That is very good. It purifies us and helps our spiritual practice to really come to the soul. We don't cover ourselves again and again with the identification with a non-eternal body, So that's one type. Then I think a very good form of voluntary tapasya is really something you do in service. Have you noted how blissful you feel after working so intensely on these Janmashtami preparations in the manor? I have heard you don't sleep when you work on this. I knew the Pandavasinas have this exhibition at least last year. They have tents, and you really give everything, and you feel very blissful. Have you seen this? Take some voluntary austerity in the devotional service of Krishna. This will really make you into, I wanted to say a man, but this is not a German expression. It will really help you to advance. Really. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in your service, the easy things and the difficult things are equally welcome, because they remove the ignorance of material life and the suffering of material life. Don't do any unrelated austerities. They will not help you in bhakti. Like we see yogis standing on one foot for a year or so. I've seen pictures. Or not cutting their nails, and the nails grow through the skin of the heart. They do this because they know tapasya brings power. But in bhakti, this is not our perspective. We know tapasya brings purity. And that is the real power, really, for a devotee, to be pure in his heart and to shed the ignorance and the obstacles. That will help him to move forward. I think Naveen Krishna, I talked with Naveen Krishna Prabhu. I do not obviously know the exact presentation which he will give, but he will suggest to us very wonderful and very happy and joyful engagements in Pandava Senas, opportunities for us to be purified in the afternoon. Please all, you know, make a mark in your calendar to be there. I know that it will be very very important to this presentation. Good. I'm tempted to go more into questions and answers, but I think so that we can do everything on this wonderful day. It's full with very wonderful things. I stop here. I think the message was also quite clear, and really this is true. This is true. It comes from the Bhagavatam. It is not some speculation. It works, really. It works. It's very easy. I know in this culture we are so afraid of pain, and when you go to the dentist, you already put 50 tons of painkillers in your mouth before you even consider going there. At least I don't do this. I take one injection, finish it. But this really transforms pain into a Krishna consciousness. It's good, you know. It's not about pain. It's about transforming what anyways comes into something which purifies us on our path of Krishna consciousness. That's only possible if you understand Krishna is fair, Krishna is kind, and and he will certainly give me his mercy if I continue to engage. And that is the sweet rain of mercy which will come. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.